So the spell has been broken. First N girl in the family, born into the family, but we have Emily. I've been blessed with four great daughter-in-laws, and so this one is by birth. But there's a mistake in the handout that's in your bulletin. What's the mistake? She's not a new member. She has to be voted in. There are enough uncles and aunts, I guess, in this church that will help raise her. And I guess eventually she will be voted in, I guess. All right, let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Father, it is you in whom we trust. We pray that we open our hearts and our minds this morning to hear your words, Lord. We know, Father, that in all things we give you thanks. We are truly grateful and blessed by your mercy and by your grace. So as we hear from you this morning, pray that you might just give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to see, open our eyes, not just our ears, Lord, but open our eyes and our hearts so that we might come before you, Lord, humbly, praising your name, lifting you up before anything else, before ourselves, before others, that your name is most worthy of praise. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So on this one particular Sunday, it just turns out I have to give a good message. My son's in-laws are here. And then there are a bunch of new people, new faces that I see. Some old faces, Chester, as John was mentioning. We go, you know, way back when we were kids, you know, playing out in front of Christie Street. Today's message, pleasing God through our faith. I started preparing this message probably about a month ago. I had a different title. It was Pleasing God or Pleasing Man. And the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about this particular topic, and then I bounced different ideas, you know, off my wife, and she's always asking me, let me help you, let me do this. And so the more I got into it, the more I decided to sort of shift the focus a little bit, because it probably would have shifted more to works. And as I looked in Bible Gateway, there are probably about 500 references to faith, and only about 100 to works. So I said, that's the direction, you know, that I'll take. I'm focusing on faith. It will be a 4-point sermon today rather than a 3-point sermon. So I hope you're not disappointed. So buckle up. It's going to be a long time. I'll try to make it. My wife says, be brief. Don't repeat yourself. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. All right, first, faith is the key. So the underlying premise for this topic is without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in Hebrews 11, it states just that. We must have faith. We must believe that God exists. And if we do, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. All right, it doesn't say to those that walk with him, to those that we earnestly need to seek God. We need to make an intentional effort to seek God. So the first thought we may have is that if our faith is not strong, are we pleasing God? So, I mean, all of us know and have heard many definitions for the word faith. And so, you know, again, because there's 500 references, I needed to try to come up with one that I felt comfortable with. Because in Hebrews 11, if you probably just turn to Hebrews 11, I think today you're going to be using your Bibles quite a bit, so pull out your Bibles. I know last week we didn't need it at all because he didn't make any references to any passages, but this is just going to be the opposite. I'm going to make up for that missed time last Sunday. Not that he didn't give a great, you know, message, very moving, very interesting ministry that he has, but today I'm going to be focusing on the number of passages. So in Hebrews 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So that's the most common definition, I think, that most of us would see, that faith is something that maybe it's something that, you know, we can't see. It's not believable, but it exists. All right. But for my definition for this morning, this is what I came up with, that faith is the confident conviction and assurance in the character and the work and the word of God. So this acknowledges that we believe in God under all circumstances. No matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in society, it could be countercultural, it could be things that is just so unbelievable that if we have faith, then we know that this is God. All right, because it is something that only God can do. So the faith that we have should also include acknowledging God's truth and a personal surrender to him. And it is this conduct that we have in our surrender that pleases God. So while some people may say that faith is something that might be maybe considered passive, we can also see that it is active. Our faith is active as well. Why? Because when we see something that is active, and we acknowledge God's truth, that's something that we have to intentionally do. Second, when it is active, when you surrender to God, this is active. It's not something that you do just passively. Say, yeah, I surrender to you, God. When you surrender, you do something that is active, and you make a movement toward God. The Latin term, sola fide, by faith alone. All right, it is also a doctrine known as a justification by faith alone. So it is a Christian doctrine that separates really Protestants from Catholics, if you will. All right, because it is something that for Protestants, we are more concerned about the faith, whereas Catholics, nothing against Catholics, they are concerned not only with faith, but they're concerned about forgiveness and buying their way into the religion, buying their way out of sin. 10 Hail Marys and I'm forgiven. Whereas for the Christian, justification by faith alone is what is needed. So justification asserts that God pardons you and I as guilty sinners. And this is only granted through faith. That's all you need. Right? it excludes anything that you need to do. So we are justified by faith alone. As we also see, we are totally incapable of saving ourselves from God's wrath. All right? There's nothing that we can do. All right? It's on the basis of the life and death of Jesus Christ that grants us that pardon. That's the justification. That's all that is needed. Faith in Jesus Christ. So we receive that pardon through faith alone. So faith may be seen as something passive, because if we receive Jesus Christ and all the benefits that he gives to us, it is through his righteousness, it is through Christ's active work that saves us. So it is our faith, but Christ's active work. So the teaching that we are declared righteous by God on the basis of our faith alone and not by works is a key doctrine in Christian theology. This is the line that divides Christianity from, let's say, cults. All right. Not to pick on Jehovah's Witnesses, but there were other cults. Jim Jones, back about 40 years ago. Charles Manson, maybe about 20, 30 years ago. Sung Yeon Moon, all right? What do we see there? All right? The difference, the dividing line is ours is based on faith, theirs is based totally on work. So all you ever saw were them out in the streets selling roses, working hard, doing things. Why? Because in order to achieve, quote, their membership, they had to do something. They had to get up at 5 in the morning. They had to work all day. They had to get in vans and trucks, get out into the streets and witness and sell flowers or sell trinkets or whatever it was. That's what they needed to do in order to be justified, in order to be accepted. So the New Testament is very clear that justification, all right, is so important. So if we read in Galatians 2:16, and I'll read a different version. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Right? So it doesn't matter how much you do. That's not going to justify your acceptance into God's kingdom. You don't need to do that. All right. But let me continue, and don't end it here and say, uh-oh, that's heresy. What do you mean you don't have to do anything? We have to work in conjunction. Faith and works are complementary. It's not contradictory. Because as I was, again, starting it out about a month ago, I was shifting more toward works. And then I saw how faith really was so much more important. So the emphasis is more on faith, but works is complementary. If you would look at James 2:20-22. It says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless, or faith without faith without works is dead?" That's the most common phrase. "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete." All right, that's the key word here. Faith was made complete by what he did. The main passage in Hebrews chapter 11, where faith is critical in pleasing God. And how do we know this? Well, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about different individuals that God has used in order to show how important faith is and how their faith was pleasing to God. In verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man." So was Abel's faith, right? Not the sacrifice, not what he did, not how hard he worked, not anything that he offered up before God, but it was his faith that made him righteous before God. Verse 5, "By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." He pleased God by his faith, and he was rewarded. Why? How? He was taken away into heaven. He didn't die a physical death, but by his faith, he was commended as one who pleased God. The other two, there's so many other examples here of Noah, Abraham. These individuals had faith, and we see all their exploits, but also understand that we can't depend on someone else's faith. All right? It doesn't rub off. So your faith is important. The strength of your faith is important. God tests our faith. All right? And why does he do that? All right? One, sometimes it shows whether our faith is real, or maybe it could be a little bit counterfeit. Second, God tests our faith because he wants to strengthen it. So when bad things happen, all right, bad things happen to Christians, that's a testing of our faith. Good things happen to non-believers. Good things happen to believers. But bad things also happen to believers. And this is a testing of our faith. That faith is important because we need to trust God under all circumstances. That's what faith is all about. So that whether good things happen or bad things happen, right, we still trust in God. Right? We know that it is happening for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Well, what are some of the practical things that we can do to please God? If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So if we are offering something that is our pleasing worship to God, it is through our reverence and awe of God. And God sees that as being pleasing to him. So when we worship God, when we worship this morning through praise and through a song, it is our opportunity for us to draw closer to God. And so when we seek God, that is something practical. When we want to know God more, that is something practical. And it draws us closer to him. Hebrews chapter 13, 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So it's important that we share what we have. Yes, you know, do people make a good living? Yes. Do people have large bank accounts, large savings? Yes. But what good is it? As we all know, all right, when we pass away, we can't use it anymore. But if we share with what we have, if we do good, God is pleased. Right? And it's what we need to do, the motivation that we have, that is so important. Second, obedience is necessary. So pleasing God is a frequent motivation for obedience in the New Testament. But this obedience needs to flow out of our faith in God. And we need to rely on God's power to do it, because we can't do it on our own. See, many times I think we beat ourselves to death sometimes because we say, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't, lots of things that we haven't done for God. Why? Because we're depending upon ourselves. We think, well, gee, if I don't read my devotions this morning, if I don't go down to church on Sunday, if I don't go to small groups, if I don't do A, B, C, D, E, and F, then maybe I'm, quote, weak. But it's not our own personal strength. We need to depend on God's strength. And that's where we're going to be able to be more obedient to God, if we rely on his strength rather than our own. Well, what are we asked to do? How are we to learn more about pleasing God? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, if you would just turn to that for a second. So God is pleased, right, when his children obey him. Well, how are we to know how to please God? Well, what are we asked to do? All right. The version that you see there is to find out what pleases the Lord. That's the NIV translation. The Good News translation is try to learn what pleases the Lord. And in one other version, and there are 45, I looked through 45 versions of this particular term, and I found that the English Standard Version was the best for me. And that was, try to discern what is pleasing to God. So discern means you're very, very specific, you're very discreet. You really want to learn and grow from seeing what pleases God. So when we're able to discern what pleases God, we understand how important faith is. So the two, faith and works. All right. It's possible to be obedient to God, to do good things, but to do it for the wrong reason. So when we serve, is it possible to serve and help others? Yes. Is it possible to do that but not really have, quote, the right reason for it? I'm not going to pick on some companies, but a lot of your major private corporations, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, Chase, IBM, a bunch of others. A lot of them have social justice activities for the employees to do. And so we have a lot of them serving, going to different homeless shelters or going to other organizations. And why are they going? Well, some of them get a day off. Because if they go and serve, they get a day off of work. Or it looks good because my manager is going and I'm going along, you know, with my manager to look good. All right. So it is possible to be obedient to God, to do good works, but to do it for the wrong reasons. For the Christian, faith and works are many times rewarded. Faith and works sometimes are not rewarded. But yet, if we have faith in God, then we understand that this does happen in a Christian's life. Many times we were perplexed, as Evan mentioned before, about Job. Okay, Job had faith. He had so much faith that he lost everything. But yet his faith in the end brought him even more than he had. Does that happen to all Christians? Not necessarily, but many times it does happen. Why? Because our faith is strengthened during good times and during bad times. Grace also includes the aspect, all right? Now, many times we think, well, grace is unmerited, which is true. It is freely given by God. But grace also has a measure of what they call God's favor. Favor is something that is seen and can be given more because of our faith. So, let me read from Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Because in the early church, we see how God's grace and favor was given more to certain individuals. All right. That is, more grace was given to some of the believers. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So this implies that because of the apostles' faith and their work, they were given more grace. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So Stephen was given more grace because of all the work that he was doing among the people. Lastly, blessings are received by faith and works. The reward, many times, of course, are blessings from God. So many Bible passages speak of blessings that God gives to believers who faithfully obey him. Peter explicitly encourages his readers to live in obedience to God so that you may obtain a blessing. So in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9, it is in verse 6, I believe. All right, in verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And 9, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the eyes of God are on the righteous, and God's attention and his ears are attentive to our prayers. So the pattern of Scripture seems that God is pleased to give more of his favor and his blessings to those who please him by living lives of obedience to his commandments. Well, why should that surprise us? Because when we see that God gives additional blessings, this encourages us more to obey God, doesn't it? Because when we obey and when we have that and our faith is strong, then we're willing to do all sorts of different things. Why? We see things happening. All right? Do good things always happen all the time? No. Sometimes we do things and nothing happens. But then other times, if we see that we're doing things and lots of things are happening, lots of changes are happening, then we see how God rewards faith. At the same time, we know that our faith is, it's good for us because we're listening. It's like parent and child. Right? When a parent tells a child to do something, right, and the child, they say, okay, I'll do it. But what's important there? It's their motivation. It's what's inside that's more important than what's on the outside, them actually just doing what you ask them to do. And so God is pleased with our faith when we have the right motivation for it as well. We're not doing it because we're getting rewarded. Right? We're doing it because of our love for God and our faith in him. So when our faith is strong, God is faithful to us. When we are weak, when we disobey, right, God sometimes is not pleased either. I'll close with a hymn. I'm not going to sing it, but the words, and you'll know it when I read the words. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, and he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. So the bottom line is, our goal is to be faithful to God, obedient to his word, and to do it for the right reasons. When our faith is strong, not our works, right, not how much we do, but our faith. So when our faith is strong, we know this is pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father, our trust is in you. We pray that as we draw near to you, that we learn more of who you are, that our faith may be strong, that it might not be shaken, that we live a life of hope through your grace and through a life transformed. That is our ultimate goal, Lord, to transform our lives so that we might bring honor and glory to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.